Let us pray. Oh Lord God, as we come now at this time in this portion of our service, Lord, this time of worship, we do seek to worship you in the proclamation of the word. But Lord, as we hear it and receive it, may we respond to it out of love, out of a heart of obedience to you. May you open eyes to see, to come to Christ today, those that would be lost. Oh Lord, we want to arise as the church to proclaim your name. Lord, teach us this morning from your word about ministry, about faithfulness, about service. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you have God's word with you this morning, join me again in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, our focus this morning will be in verses 10 and 11, but I want to read again, beginning in verse 1 down through verse 11. Luke writes, "And he called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, 'Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. But whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as testimony against them.' Departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. And Herod said, 'I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things?' And he kept trying to see him. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. And taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing." Beloved, when I entered this week of study, I must confess my intentions were to bring to you part two of the message we began last Sunday of "Who is this man, Jesus?" But as I continued to study and to go through this, I realized there were some things I wanted to focus on more carefully in verses 10 and 11. Though that is the heart of the question of this section of Scripture: who is this man, Jesus? But the section as a whole, I want to remind you, is really Jesus' overall discipleship of his apostles. It really is a continuation of his discipleship of these 12 men. Even, not just through verses 11, but all the way really down even to verse 36. Verses 1 through 36, Jesus is trying to help these 12 men in their understanding. He's trying to help these 12 men in their faithfulness. But to do that, he knows that there are certain aspects of ministry that needs to be enlarged in their life. Let me just kind of break it down for you for a moment. Really, if we were to go back and look at verses 1 through 6, we would see there that Jesus had enlarged their capabilities and enlarged their commission to ministry and to ministering on his behalf. Then, as we looked at last Sunday from verses 7 through 9, we see there that he had enlarged their consequences in ministry on behalf of himself. And now this morning, as we're going to focus in on verses 10 and 11, we're going to see there that he is seeking to enlarge their capacity to minister and to enlarge their compassion for ministry. And then when we look at verses 12 through 20, we're going to see where Jesus is going to provide this amazing miracle The one miracle of all the miracles that he did that is recorded in all four Gospels, the miracle of the feeding of the thousands. But in that miracle, what I would want us to see is that he's there trying to enlarge their confidence in him and to enlarge their confession of him. And then when we get to verses 21, even down to verse 26, we're going to see there he is seeking to enlarge their commitment to him. Their commitment. Then finally, verses 27 to 36, but even some of the things coming prior to that, one of the areas that Jesus is really trying to focus on with these 12 is enlarging their comprehension about who he is and about the kingdom. So Jesus is trying to disciple these men. He is discipling these men. What I want us to do is we go through these, each of these that I just mentioned to you. I want you to think of it as Jesus discipling you. Jesus discipling me. Jesus discipling us together as a church. That is, I want you to think about your need. I want you to think about the need that you have to enlarge your capacity to minister for Jesus, to enlarge your compassion for ministry for Jesus, to enlarge your confidence in Jesus, your confession of Jesus, your commitment to Jesus, your comprehension about Jesus and what he's doing. You see, I truly believe that every single one of us needs to grow in each of these areas, including myself. But today, the focus is going to be on verses 10 and 11, where Jesus is desiring to enlarge their capacity and their compassion to minister for him, to minister for him. You see, as I started studying these two verses, my heart was gripped, my attention was grabbed by the actions of Jesus. And again, it is by God's grace now that we get to be there now with Jesus. We get to sit in, to look, and to listen to what he's saying, what he's doing, what is happening here. Because if you go back to verse 10 for a moment, hopefully one of the first things you'll see is that this is really the completion of the specific ministry tasks that he had given to these 12. I mean, back in verse 1, he called them together. In verse 2, he's sending them out. In verse 6, they're departing and they go out and do what Jesus tasked them to do everywhere that he wanted them to go. And then now in verse 10, we see the apostles return. And in their return, they're giving an account to him of all that they had done, all that they had said, all that they had done, everything that had happened. But you notice, they continue on in verse 10 and 11, him taking them with him, and then Jesus picking back up with his ministry of proclaiming the kingdom of God and performing miracles of curing those who had need of healing. We see this is simply a continuation of his ministerial training of these 12. This overall training, the task is over, but the training is not over. He's continuing to move forward with this. And as he does, the first thing I want us to think about this morning is his desire to enlarge their capacity to minister for him. His desire, he's wanting to enlarge their capacity to minister for him. He's going to do this in several ways. First, he understood that to enlarge their capacity to minister for him moving forward in this training of them, that they would need to have accountability and they would need to have accessibility. And that is, they would need to be accountable to Jesus, and they're going to need to be not only accessible to Jesus, but Jesus is going to need to be accessible to them. For them to grow in their capacity, for you to grow in your capacity requires that there is accountability in your life and such in which your life is accessible for others to be in it, to be working with you, through you, and holding you accountable in your life. We see this when we go back to verse 10, that when the apostles return, they give an account They give an account of all that they had done. This is a quick reminder to us, beloved, that they understood that they were accountable to Christ. They were His sent ones. They had been chosen and called by Him. Now they've been called together by Him and given this specific task. They had been sent out by Him. They had been instructed by Him on what to preach and what to do. And now they're back and they're giving a full accounting. That idea of an account, they're giving a full detailed report of all that they said, of all that they did, of all of what had happened. They knew that for them to grow in their capacity to be able to minister for Christ, they needed to be held accountable by Christ. But they also still needed that accessibility to Christ, and they needed Christ to have accessibility to them, to speak into their life, to continue to train them, continue to prepare them, that without that they would not be able to grow in their capacity to serve Him. And I want you to notice that when you look back in verse 10, where it says, and taking them with Him, He withdrew by Himself to a city called Bethsaida. If you recall, beloved, this has been front and center for Jesus in His training of these men, for them to be with Him. He takes them with Him. We saw that back in chapter 6. Right after He called these men, He chose these men, and they were up on a mountainside, and they start coming down, and it says they were with Him. Then in chapter 7, in verse 11, we see it again, that as Jesus is going about and traveling, the disciples were going along with Him. Then in chapter 8, when Jesus makes His preaching tour throughout the area in the region of Galilee, and He's proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, we're told the 12 were with Him. Even here in our context, back in chapter 9, in verse 18, if you look down there for a moment, it says, and it happened that while He was praying alone, the disciples were with Him. Jesus is taking them along. This is intentional. Because He knows not only do they need to come back and be accountable to Him and share the report of what God did through them, but He also knows they still need more accessibility to Him, and He needs accessibility to them to speak into their life. They need to keep looking and listening, and we're going to see learning from Him, but they need Him to speak into their life. So, beloved, may I say to you, if you want to be used of the Lord, if you want to grow in your capacity and be enlarged in your capability and capacity to minister on behalf of Christ, you will need accountability in your life. You will need accessibility to others in your life. This is what Jesus is modeling for them. But a second thing you're going to need is humility. Humility. You see, these men are going to have to now accept and appreciate the fact that they're right back where they were before that ministry task. That is, they're now back in the role of listening, looking, and learning from Jesus. I mean, they just got to go out and they were the spokesman. They were the ones doing the healings. They were the ones preaching the kingdom of God. But if you notice now, when they come back, it's only Jesus doing this. And they're going to have to be able and willing in humility to accept and to appreciate their role at that time. They cannot become prideful. They cannot become too big for their own britches. They can't even become bored of the normal and the everyday life and the role that they had. They can't be disinterested in the normal activities and the routine ministry that they had been a part of. You go back and look in verse 10, when the apostles return, they're giving an account. I want you to sense from these men, there is a rightful sense of excitement. I mean, I can only imagine the excitement among these men, comparing stories, telling the amazing things that happened, telling how they were able to heal certain people, cast out demons, maybe even somebody raised someone from the dead. And now, just like that, probably in the matter of hours, they come back, they're able to spend some time with Jesus, they're able to start sharing with Jesus what it is that they did and how they did it and the consequences and the results and how people were responding, how people were thinking and walking through this and all the excitement of what was happening. And just like that, they're back to the everyday grind of ministry with Jesus because the demands never ended. They're right back in the role of listening, looking, and learning. Because he's doing the speaking. He's curing of the diseases. And after this exciting time of ministry, this amazing event that happened in their life, they now must be willing and ready to get right back to work, to what they were doing beforehand. Everyday life. Every week life. Every month life in the ministry with Jesus. They had to be willing to accept that in humility, appreciate that in their role, and have an eagerness. They needed to be just as eager to do now what they had been doing before they went off on this task. They needed to be faithful to the Lord. So, beloved, to enlarge one's capacity to minister and be used of God, one has to have accountability, have accessibility, but you must also have humility. You're going to need humility to do that. If you want to stifle your capacity to minister and to serve, then cut yourself off from accountability. Cut yourself off from accessibility. Cut yourself off from humility. Become disinterested in the everyday life of Christ and serving in the body of Christ. And you will shorten and short-circuit your capacity to serve. There's a third area I want us to see that I think is very important too, that Jesus does for these men, that's going to be essential in their capacity to continue to be enlarged in their service and ministry for Christ. And it's this: they're going to need to have an opportunity for downtime. An opportunity for downtime. When you go back to verse 10, when it says that Jesus, taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. It is here that Jesus is trying to provide for these men some downtime, that they needed to avoid burnout. Jesus and the 12 needed some time alone. And again, the key there is it says, by himself. By himself. In fact, let me just show you something. Look for a moment at a key detail on this event that's given to us in the Gospel of Mark. Look over in Mark chapter 6 for a moment. Mark chapter 6. And I want to begin reading in verse 30, but where we're going to focus is on verse 31 and 32. But I want you to see, this is talking about the very same event after Jesus had sent out these 12. And in verse 30 of Mark 6, it says, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. Here's why. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. By themselves. See, here is Jesus. Yes, ministry was exciting, but ministry also can be exhausting. And these guys are exhausted. There's really been no break for them. They came back. They had a short, apparently, a period of time to sit down and share with Jesus their report of all that they had done. But if you notice again what Mark says there in a commentary, that there were many people coming and going, so much so they didn't even have time to eat. The ministry demands didn't stop. There's no break for them. Many people are still coming and going. It's nonstop, so much so they haven't even had time to eat. They needed to be refreshed. They needed to rest. But how can they get some downtime just to themselves and just with Jesus? It's only if they go with Jesus to the secluded place. But the only way they're going to be able to do that, beloved, is by what Jesus did in verse 32. See, Luke doesn't tell us this. He just says they went away. Jesus took them away with him to a secluded place, to Bethsaida. But Mark tells us they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. You see, if they were on the land, there would really be no time by themselves. There's too many people. There are too many needs. So Jesus had them get into the boat because that would be the way that he could provide for them an opportunity for privacy, an opportunity for rest, an opportunity to be refreshed. See, Jesus was one who was looking for opportunities, being creative to create opportunities for them to be alone. These men needed some time for that. And if you recall, the last time we saw these men with Jesus on a boat, what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. I believe those guys would have been sleeping that trip, except there was a massive storm that came blowing through that was bringing water into the boat that was about to sink it. You see, we see at times what Jesus did for them and what he even did for himself in looking for creative ways to carve out opportunities to rest, to be refreshed from the rigors of ministry. And really all they had, they get in this boat. So from where they were to where they're going, they probably at the most have a few hours of downtime. But it was important for Jesus to get these men away, for them to recuperate and be refreshed. But now I want you to notice something very, very important. One, ministry never stops. And two, you can't just quit. You can't just check out altogether. That's not what Jesus is asking them to do. Jesus knows the demands are never going to end. He knows there's always going to be needs. But he knows also there have to be certain times where you just get certain opportunities to get some rest, to catch your breath, to be able to be refreshed so that your capacity to minister can continue and grow. But notice, he's not asking them to step away. He's not asking them to quit. He's not asking them to check out and say, it's just too much. That's not what he's asking them to do. But what he is asking of them is this. He's asking them to have accountability. He's asking them to have accessibility. He's asking them to have humility. He's asking them to look for the opportunities for downtime, to rest and refresh so that they can get right back in it. Because we're going to see as soon as they step off the boat, they're right back in it. The needs don't just disappear. They don't just go away. Jesus is challenging them about this. He's wanting to enlarge their capability, their capacity to minister. Because it's going to need to be enlarged. Especially even once he's gone, it's going to need to be enlarged. So he is desiring to do that for them. There's a second thing I see Jesus doing for these men that we need for ourselves. That is his desire to enlarge their compassion. Their compassion in ministry. The reality is ministry in the church for the cause of Christ will be exacting. That is, it will be demanding. And it will be more demanding at certain times than others. It will be demanding of your time. It will be demanding of your abilities. It will be demanding of your resources. And when it is, beloved, what I want us to see from this, we must avoid beginning to see those demands as a burden, as something that is bothersome to us. But instead, what that calls for us to is to enlarge our capacity and our compassion for ministry, for the folks and the needs that are there. Because notice when you go back to verse 11, Jesus takes them with him. We now know from Mark 6, they got in a boat, and they're traveling from where they are over to a city called Bethsaida. And Jesus is trying to get them to a secluded place so they can be by themselves, they can just rest and recuperate. But the crowds don't care about that. They still have needs. They're still hurting. So in verse 11 it says, but the crowds were aware of this. They were aware of them getting in the boat. They were aware of them now traveling, going to another place. So what do? They followed him. They follow Jesus. And they don't do it in a boat. They actually are running around the lake. Jesus is going from here to there, but they're going to run all the way around so that whenever he gets there, they're going to already be there. They're waiting for him. When he comes ashore with the 12, this crowd is already there because they start running. They see and know and can figure out where they're going, and they start traveling on foot. And they're booking it as far as they can, maybe up to 8 or 10 miles, and they're just going around, and they can see it, and they're following, and they're tracking, and they're going around with this. And as they're doing, people are coming out of the areas, and the crowd's growing larger and larger and larger and larger. And as we see, they're doing this, as I said, by foot. Listen to this. In Mark 6:33, it says, the people saw them going, and many recognized them, and ran there together on foot from all the cities, and got there ahead of them. Got there ahead of them. What I want you to understand, too, is this ends up being thousands of people. When Jesus and the 12 come ashore, it's possibly 10 to 15,000 people that are waiting. They're waiting for him. You see, their day is nowhere near over. Because even in our text down in verse 12, now the day was ending. As we're coming to the end of the day, when darkness is starting to set in, darkness is getting closer. These people are just much like the apostles. They've had nothing to eat either. And what I want us to see from that, beloved, is yes, ministry at times is going to be very exciting. And ministry at times, sometimes it's going to be very exhausting. And ministry, yes, at times is going to be very exacting. It is going to be demanding. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. There's always going to be needs. There's always going to be people who are in need of spiritual help, even in need of physical help. And what I want you to see from this and what Jesus' actions and what he's going to do here in the end of verse 11, by welcoming them and then speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing them, those who are in need of healing, what I want you to see from that is that we then must avoid seeing the demands as a burden, but instead see them as an opportunity to enlarge our compassion and our capacity to minister. So how did Jesus display this for us to learn and for these men to learn? Well, the first way he displays it is by just embracing them. That is, he embraced this crowd. Look again in verse 11. The crowds were aware of this and followed them, and then welcoming them. He welcomed them. He embraced them. I want you to understand, there's no resentment here. There's no complaining from Jesus. There's no bad attitudes from Jesus. He didn't ask them, hey guys, y'all need to come back in a few hours. We still need more time to rest. We need more time together. No, it says he welcomed them. He embraced them. He didn't see them as a burden. He didn't see all these demands upon him as a burden on him, as his time. He didn't see all these demands of the people as somehow encroaching on his time and on his time together with these 12. As I thought about this, I thought an illustration of this. I think this would be very similar to a mother. A mother who has had a long day. And she's just trying just to get a little bit of a rest. Just a little bit of time to herself. So she puts her baby down. She puts her child down for a nap. She's just trying to catch a little bit of time. Maybe just at most, maybe a couple of hours. And within 30 minutes, the baby or the child's crying. The baby or the child is calling out. Maybe the child has a little fever. The baby's in need of a diaper change. Maybe they're just hungry. Maybe they had a bad dream. Well, whatever it may be. The mother's not going to look at that as a burden. That, oh, I didn't get all the 2 hours that I wanted of rest. I only got 30 minutes. But she's going to see it now as an opportunity to show compassion and love for her child and meet that need. You see, that's what Jesus saw. That's what Jesus, when he saw this crowd, that's what he saw. And I want you to understand, you need to expect that ministry in the church for the cause of Christ will at times be that demanding. It may call for a sacrifice of a significant amount of time. And the only way that you will be willing to sustain that and grow in your capacity to serve is if you're growing in your compassion. If your compassion is that of Jesus's. Each of us needs to be willing to be inconvenienced. Each of us needs to be willing to be interrupted. Interrupted in our plans at times. When serving and doing ministry in the church for the cause of Christ calls for it. If you recall, even back in Luke chapter 5, in verse 15 and 16, when the news about Jesus was growing and spreading, the demands for Jesus were growing and spreading. And Jesus knew how important it was for him to have time alone with his Father in prayer. And though, because the demands were growing and people were showing up earlier and earlier and earlier to Jesus, what did Jesus do? Did Jesus just say, hey, look, I'm sorry, folks. You're just going to have to come back another hour or two. No, Jesus said, well, if they're showing up at 5 o'clock, I guess I'll have to get up at 3 o'clock. Like, I know the needs are still there, and I know I still need to be alone with my Father, so I will get up earlier than what they're showing up so that I can still have that time with them and with the Father. Well, beloved, it is good, it is right for us to have our schedules, to have our structure, to have our discipline. But there are times and seasons that may require that we alter that to meet the needs that are at hand. See, the challenge to us is we must be willing to do more than just serve ever when it's convenient. Challenge for us is to be willing to give of ourselves and our resources beyond the level where we can just say, well, as long as my life stays comfortable. And I'm going to say, even as a pastor, as a preacher, that much schedule and structure and discipline my time, and a preacher must discipline his time, prioritizing the studying and the preparation in the Word of God. It would not be proper and it would not be right for me or any other preacher or pastor to say, well, in the name of guarding my time for study and preparation, I'm never available for the needs of pastoral care. And I will rarely be available to be with the people or be involved with the people. That's not following the ministry of Jesus. And it's not even following in the ministry footsteps of the Apostle Paul. See, sometimes needs will be more demanding. Sometimes they will. Sometimes needs are going to call out that you can put a schedule together, but then something arises and needs are right there in front of you, and you've got to deal with those needs. You say, well, but if I deal with those needs, now there's going to be 8-10 hours of my week that's going to be consumed by that need. Well, how am I still going to be able to have that time in prayer, have that time in God's Word? Well, I would just say we have to go back to what Jesus did. Get up earlier, stay up later, whatever it calls for. It's not a matter sometimes of can we do it, it's a matter of will we do it? Will we do it? See, what was behind this embracing? Jesus is embracing these folks. He's embracing this opportunity. Even though the 12 are exhausted, they're planning to have some downtime. What would motivate Jesus to get them out of their comfort zone and out of their convenience zone? Well, he didn't just embrace them. He had empathy for them. He had compassion for them. He empathized with their spiritual needs and with their physical needs. Jesus didn't see them as an inconvenience. He didn't see them as an interruption. He saw it as an opportunity. And first and foremost, beloved, the need that Jesus saw when he saw this crowd there was the spiritual need. Again, when we look back, after in welcoming them, he begins to speak to them about the kingdom of God. He starts teaching them. In Mark chapter 6, listen to this. In verse 34, it says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them. You want to know why he felt compassion for them? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And you know how he responded to that? He began to teach them many things. He started to teach them many things. Luke tells us what he started to teach them. He continued to proclaim the kingdom of God to them. He understood this is their greatest need, and this is everyone's greatest need. This is their most important need. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd who needed to be saved, who needed to be rescued. He never, ever lost sight of the priority he had and of this priority because he kept seeing them in this way. Thus, he continued to prioritize the proclaiming of the truth, the proclaiming of the kingdom of God, of telling them about their status, of telling them about their need to repent. As I thought about this, some reason in my mind, it just came to my mind to share a word of encouragement to anyone and everyone who has, is, or will be involved in some time teaching our young people in our church. I would encourage you to never look down upon that because I want you to see that as an opportunity to reach out to those who are in need of a shepherd. You get the opportunity to plant the seed of the gospel. You get the opportunity to water the seed of the gospel, trusting God to bring spiritual life and salvation in their little hearts. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. You see, out of love for his sheep, Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven. He took on flesh from conception to birth to his life and his life without sin in a hostile world that was against him. And he died on the cross for our sins. He was bearing God's wrath upon himself in his flesh for our sins. And God raised him from the dead on the third day. So surely, while he was here, he would be willing to give up some sleep and to give up some rest to preach the truth to thousands of people that he looked at on a shore and says, those are lost sheep. They have no shepherd. They're just drifting around. They're headed for eternal destruction. Beloved, what I would plead for us is that sometimes we need to see it this way as well, that if Jesus was willing to give up so much, and if he was willing to give up sleep at times, and if he was willing to give up comfort at times, and this is what we see from him, it's what we see from the Apostle Paul, it's what we see from the 12, thus surely we can serve sometimes in that way. We can share and support the cause of Christ sacrificially when called for as well. So that's what Jesus is doing. He welcomes them, and the reason he can welcome them is because he has compassion for them. And he knows these 12 are going to need to enlarge their compassion. Because if they don't, they will see that crowd as a burden, as bothersome. But he didn't just have compassion for them for their spiritual need. Notice also for their physical need as well. Because he wasn't just speaking to them about the kingdom of God. He was curing those who had need of healing. It's interesting in Matthew 14 and verse 14. There it also tells us that Jesus felt compassion for them and healed their sick. So on one hand, he had compassion for them because he looked out at them and saw their spiritual need. But he also looked out at them and saw their physical need. As John MacArthur says in his commentary, human suffering truly caused him pain and moved him to alleviate it. You see, when we have the affections and the compassion of Jesus that's moving us, it will bring about actions to alleviate spiritual and physical suffering, to meet real needs and serve others. It will cause us to grow in our capacity and our willingness to meet those needs, to be used of God, to us to see them as an opportunity and a blessing and not to see them as a burden. These men are going to need to keep learning this and keep this in mind, because this was really just getting started for them. Because they're fixing to be having a life committed to this. And in fact, again, as I said, talking about needing to grow in commitment, I mean, Jesus is going to lay it out for them there in verse 23 of Luke 9. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You wish to save your life, you're going to have to be willing to lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one who will save it. You try to gain the whole world and you lose your whole soul, what's that worth? He's trying to grow them in their commitment, grow them in their compassion. But may I remind each of us here today that your greatest need is reconciliation with God. Is forgiveness of your sins. Having a righteous standing before God. Because we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all separated from God because of our sins. We all have nothing to offer God. We cannot earn our own righteousness. There's nothing we can do, and the only hope is in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest need that all of us have. But may I remind each of us also here today, as Christians, of your need to engage in the cause of Christ. And that as we do, we need to learn from Jesus and his actions. And to see that Jesus, he never grew bored. I mean, he and the 12 are excited about the special event and the encounters that they just had, but they were just as eager and just as enjoying of the opportunity to go back to doing what they were doing beforehand, just keep on doing what they were doing. And Jesus, who pushed himself to the fullest extent, mentally, physically, never burned out, he and the 12 ran as hard and as fast and as long as they could. And how they were willing to do that and able to do that is because of the accountability, it's because of the accessibility, it's because of the humility, because of the opportunities to seek some rest. And Jesus never became burdened by all the needs of the people. Not in a bothersome way. He saw them in their true needs. See, he was looking at their need, their problems, not his, not theirs. So from his actions with these men, I want to challenge you to grow in your capacity and your compassion. I want you to seek to enlarge your capacity and your compassion for ministry. And I pray the Lord would do the same for each of us this morning. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer. And let the Word of God and the Spirit of God just work in your heart. I trust and pray he's been doing that throughout this message. Maybe you know you're needing to grow in your capacity. Or maybe you struggle with compassion. Let the Spirit work. Humble yourself. Lord God, I pray this morning, we pray that, Lord, again, for any lost soul, that's in need of salvation, oh, Lord, that you would rescue them, save them. Lord, I pray for us as followers of Christ that, Lord, you would truly enlarge our capacity, compassion for ministry. Lord, whatever area in our lives that need to be touched and need to be changed and need to be conformed, let us see it from your word. Let your Spirit work in our hearts. Not only challenge us, but change us. Conform us into your image. Oh Lord, bless your word in my life. Bless your word in the life of every believer here today, by your grace. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.